City, and the old-timers game at Yankee Stadium. Here is the baseball game is this weekend, and I'm very pleased to have here Gene Woodling. Gene, I really appreciate giving us the time.
No, it's nice talking to you.
Thank you. You go back to your early days and tell us a little bit about where you were raised and how you were first exposed to baseball.
Oh, boy. Well, I was born and raised in Akron, Ohio, and I didn't play baseball when I was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Very little. My family is noted for swimming.
Yeah.
That's an oddity. And I played football, basketball, everything. And the swimming coach became the baseball coach and more or less forced me to play baseball my last year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I played a total of 9 baseball games before I played pro ball.
Really?
So that's an oddity, I know. But, and I didn't even like baseball. But for some reason, I did
what happened in those 9 games.
Well, I guess I've done well because the scout signed me, and I didn't even know what he was doing. Bill Bradley, well, the same guy signed Tommy Henry.
Mm-hmm. We're
both from the same part of the
country. Yeah, Tommy, you mentioned his name.
And Bill Bradley was a scout, and somebody must have said something to him because when he come to talk to him, I said, no, I'm going to stay with my buddies in my neighborhood. I didn't even know he was talking about pro ball.
Mm-hmm. What year was this?
1940.
Okay. So do you remember what your first contract was for, the money?
$80.
$80 a month.
Yeah. About $80 in 1940.
That was toward the end of the Depression.
Yeah, that's right. When I left Akron, the rubber shops, of course, I know, the average wage was $10 a week.
Okay, so you were about 18 then, finishing up high school?
17 years old.
Okay, and how'd your folks feel about this?
Well, they were very pleased. You know, we were all athletes in our family. We used to drive our parents crazy with all the sports, you know.
Right.
I had 3 brothers ahead of me, and we were all pretty good athletes. And I come out of a neighborhood, like everybody else in those days, Depression days.
Yeah.
Everything, but we had some good athletes in my neighborhood, and
Really
I think this is how you become an athlete, what your buddies do, what you play with. And we played sports all the time in my neighborhood. We stole a little bit too on the side, but like you say, my wife is from the same neighborhood. She said I should have been in jail when I was a boy. I said, well, you'd have been my roommate, but you're from the same neighborhood.
So where was your first minor league year?
I played in Mansfield, Ohio State League, which was Class D.
Okay.
I started right at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went from D to C, Flint, Michigan. And then I made a big jump to A, to Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And I...
Over what period of time is that?
Well, 1940 to 43.
Okay.
And then Cleveland called me up in the end of 43. And then I was in the service like everybody else, 3 years, and came back with Cleveland.
You remember the day you were informed you were going to the big leagues? How did it feel
you
and your reaction to it?
Hey, you don't forget those things.
I didn't think so.
I was in the Eastern League with Wilkes-Barre, and we were in Elmira, New York.
Okay.
Mark Twain Hotel. Do I remember it?
Mark Twain is buried in Elmira.
Is it still up there?
Well, he's buried there. I think he lived there.
Oh, yeah.
He's buried in Elmira.
We stayed in the Mark Twain Hotel, and here comes a telegram.
Okay.
From Cleveland, notifying me that I was to report to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you bet you remember those days.
Okay, so you left immediately. This was the middle of the season?
No, it was at the end, September.
Oh, so you told me to report the next season or the end of the season?
No, the end of that year. See, minor leagues ended around the 4th of Labor Day.
Okay.
Back in those days.
Right.
This was just maybe a week before this Eastern League closed. And I was called up, and I was only there the last month of the season.
Where were the Yankees position-wise when you reported?
I think they were 3rd.
Okay.
And my first ball game was in Boston. And my first time at bat was a base hit.
Oh,
well, you
that's something you remember that.
Well, you bet.
Who was
it? Joe Cronin, who was America's president for years.
Yeah.
Joe Cronin. Every time I'd be around Joe, any events or anything else, he said, I remember when that guy broke in.
Uh-huh.
You got a base hit right by me.
And who was the pitcher?
Oh, golly, that's...
Oh, you don't know? The kind of pitch?
No, I'm not quite that sure.
So who were the other guys on the Yankees when you came up there?
With New York, back in those days? Well, they had the Keller, DiMaggio, and Henrik outfield. And here comes Bauer and I, and they said, well, where are we going to play?
Right, I was just going to ask you that.
But Charlie, unfortunately, had the bad back, and Tommy was at the end of his career. So Hank and I fit in very well then with those two fellows. And Joe, we actually played with Joe 3 years then, before he retired.
Okay. Now, was there any particular game in your career from a personal standpoint that stands out in your mind?
Well, yes. You know, I'm from the Ohio area, and of course we used to go into Cleveland. I did very well in that ballpark for him and against him. And Allie Reynolds and Bob Feller hooked up in a no-hitter.
And they each had a no-hitter?
They each had a no-hitter. And along about the seventh or eighth inning, I hit a home run. The ball game ended up 1-0. Feller pitched a two-hitter and Reynolds pitched a no-hitter.
And you?
And I was the guy that hit the home run. And it was in my own backyard. So really, you know, every boy likes to go back home and do well. And
sure.
That was, if I was a single on any one ball game, that would
okay.
be
it. Of all of the pitchers you're facing in your career, which two or three were just over the toughest on you?
Well, it's, you know, hitting's a funny thing. I used to go in and face Lemon, Wynn, Feller, and Garcia, 20-game winners.
Right.
Lifetime average of 400 off of them. I go to St. Louis, a guy'd win two ball games, lose 18. Couldn't buy a base hit off him.
Did you tend to hit one type of pitcher better?
Well,
that's how you said fastball.
Pretty much a fastball hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was a fastball hitter, yeah.
Okay.
It got so bad, you know, I played a long time. And I never seen any fastball the last 4 years I played.
Uh-huh.
They'd waste them. But at that time, I became a better breaking ball hitter late in my career. So if these young guys would have thrown me more fastballs, I might not have done as well.
Okay.
So, you know, careers switch, and they don't know those things. You know, once they determine, oh, don't throw that guy a fastball, it stays with you. And sometimes it does you a favor.
What do you attribute to you're becoming a good curveball pitcher later on?
Well, I think possibly playing as many years as I did. I think generally speaking, and another thing is, I never seen any fastballs.
Okay.
So if I was going to stay around, I had to adjust to becoming a good breaking ball hitter.
So here again, were there any one or two pitches that were particularly tough on you?
Well, Whitey, when I left the Yankees, you know, I was a left-hand hitter, and Whitey Ford, of course, he was tough on everybody. I'd have to say Whitey was one of them.
Okay. Did you always play the outfield?
Yes.
Okay.
Always.
Never
yeah.
played out.
Chase down pitchers' mistakes.
Okay, they might look at it differently. But
yeah.
This platoon situation, how are you and Hank Brower able to
handle? Well, it really wasn't done that much.
Okay.
If you'll check the record books, not many ball games. Hank, you know, Casey was something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hank and I are called the Goldust Twin and everything else, and identical careers and all that nonsense. A couple squareheads, too. And Casey used to keep us mad. And for the simple reason we didn't pilot, we just go out and beat the devil out of somebody. But Hank, we get down to two-game lead or one-game lead, we play every day. We get up to five-game lead, he would start platooning some. So Hank asked him that one day. He says, how come when we get down to close to the main time, we play every day? The old man just winked at us. But we didn't really platoon, maybe 7-8 ball games a year.
Remember any people talking about Casey stories? Any particular one sticks in your mind?
Well, there's a hell of a lot of stories about Casey. Most of the time when I was with the Yankees, we were mad at him, you know. But the way I clarify that is that, hey, I'd rather be mad at a guy like Casey who makes you successful,
right,
gets a base baseball out of you, than to go home broke and say you played for a good guy.
Right, right.
So he made us a lot of money.
Okay.
You can't knock success.
Okay.
And don't you believe that stuff that Casey should have won with the talent he had. I've seen a lot of managers lose with that good talent, too.
Uh-huh.
Casey never lost with good talent.
Not any Yogi story. Everybody has a Yogi story.
Well,
number one.
One of the funny ones that, of course, it don't mean much to fans, but
right.
Vic Rashi was as nice a guy that ever pitched baseball.
Great
you
pitcher.
Met Vic Rashi on the away from baseball. He's a gentleman. He just, you can't say enough nice things. But on the mound, he was mean. Casey and Jim Turner was our pitching coach. Never knew how to express themselves what they wanted Rashi to do. One day it was real hot and he was pitching quite fast. They wanted him to slow down. But how are you going to do it? So they Casey got the idea, well, we'll send Yogi out there. And they motioned to Yogi to block Tonto Rashi, and nobody threw with Rashi during a ball game. Yogi said, no, I ain't going out there. So finally they got down to where you better go out there, you're going to get fined, this and that. Yogi got halfway to the mound, and Rashi had the ball pointing at him, saying, you come one more step, I'm going to hit you right between the eyes with the ball. And to us, that was a funny thing. Yogi standing out there, you know, he was pigeon-toed anyway.
Right, right.
And it didn't mean nothing to the fans, but to us ball players, we knew what was going on.
Okay.
That is actually one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Which two or three hitters that you've seen impress you the most?
Good hitters?
Great hitters, yeah.
Well,
the most impressive.
Of course, I played 18 years against Ted Williams.
Okay.
You've got to say Ted Williams. You know, I was asked that many times. I played with DiMaggio. And DiMaggio was the best all-around player,
right?
But in that one department, you'd have to say Ted.
He spoke to Hank Baron. He repeated your words almost,
exactly. I don't think that's knocking Joe. When you talk about guys like Joe DiMaggio and Ted Williams, what are you talking about?
Talking about very great and extremely great.
What are you talking about? You flip a coin.
Okay.
But like you say, if there was any better than Williams, I don't know who they'd be.
And sometimes people ignore defense in baseball. As an outfielder, which defensive outfielder stand out as you look at?
Oh, boy, you've had a lot of good defensive outfielders.
Not too hard.
Well, of course, you can't deny Joe being one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, DiMaggio, just unbelievable the way he could handle himself. And, of course, it was proven that he was the greatest ball player. But more, I tell you, boy, outfield. Well, his brother was no slouch, you know. When it comes to defense, boy, you can flip a coin between him and Joe on that defense, too. Dominic would have to be one of them. But like you say, I go way back, not even before my time, Earl Averill.
Okay.
Not many people remember Earl Averill.
Cleveland. Right, yeah.
Yeah, boy, he was an outstanding outfielder. But you can sit here and talk.
Who besides Casey did you play for?
Oh, my. Well, I was very fortunate.
Well, let me put it this way.
I played for Boudreaux.
Okay.
I played for Richards. I played for Al Lopez. I played for Casey Stengel.
Okay.
And I'll tell you something. I never played for what they say off-brand managers. And I think, really, that has a lot to do with your career. I played for some real good managers.
Okay. Anyone particularly impress you?
Well, you'd have to say Casey. You know,
okay.
I mean, it isn't that he knew more baseball than the other fellas, but I think he knew players. I think he knew people better.
Okay.
He was around the game 100 years. So. But it seemed like he'd get in your mind.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, I was one of the only guys back in my era that was brought to the Mets.
Uh-huh.
By Casey.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And the day I came there, you know, he always had a bunch of writers. And, of course, me and him together there, he said, I want to just say this. You guys always said that Woodling didn't like me, I didn't like him. See, that's a bunch of baloney, he says, because I like this guy. He says I can't hate him because all he got mad about was he wanted to play. You can't hate a guy who wants to play.
Right.
He says, and by the way, he's over there at the Mets. He can play all he wants now.
No more pretending. So you went right from the Yankees to the Mets?
No.
Oh.
Baltimore.
Okay.
Cleveland.
Anything particularly?
Well,
in those years?
Everybody remembers you're a Yankee when you play here, especially the years I played here. But my best years were with Baltimore, myself personally, in Baltimore.
What was your best year?
59.
What were your statistics then?
Well, you know, people look at batting averages and all that nonsense. That isn't a ball from a ball player. That isn't his best year.
Okay.
I hit, I think, a .301 that year. I don't know what I drove in, 78, 80 runs. But one of the writers compiled how many of my runs I drove in meant something to the ball. 57% of my runs that year won ball games.
That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line.
Right.
And like you say, that was just like magic. Every time I was afforded the opportunity, well, it just seemed like it happened. And I consider that my best year in baseball.
Now,
I hit for higher averages.
Right.
But
now, your last team was the Mets, right?
Mets.
Okay.
I helped them lose 120.
What was that like? What was the atmosphere there?
Casey was funny there.
Uh-huh.
He was funny.
You found him very different than, than the Yankees than with the Mets.
Oh, my. What a difference. What a difference. Well, it was serious business when you win. And I'll tell you one thing. Casey was hard to play for. He was a pay-attention guy. Mm-hmm. He made you pay attention at all times. Now, all the public relations was done for baseball and the public. And he was a tremendous public relations man for baseball, no question about it. But, boy, I'm telling you, he was tough to play for. He wanted to win, and he wanted to get the best out of it.
Even with the Mets situation?
No. Now, the Mets, he was funny. He couldn't do nothing about it.
He realized that.
And, in fact, you know, being with him the other years, he used to wink at me. He said, a little different. I said, yeah, a little different. Well, he explained expansion teams.
Uh-huh.
Expansion teams, you're either too young or too old.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what it was. That was Casey's statement.
This is a very hypothetical question, but if Casey were around today to manage, how do you think it would work out?
It'd probably last 10 seconds.
Okay.
He couldn't manage today.
Yeah.
Well, that's not only saying Casey.
Yeah.
It's a lot of managers. Baseball was different. Well, I think everybody's era, let's face it, when you get older, you reminisce, and you say your era was the best.
Right.
But I'll go a little further. You've got 26 teams today, which will be 28. They thin the talent out. Now, today, there's every bit as good of ball players in our day. If you take the good players, put them back into 16 teams, you'd see an entirely different game of baseball.
Okay, now all careers, of course, must come to an end. How did it happen, though, with you?
Well, I was almost 41 years old,
mm-hmm.
so I was very fortunate health-wise and everything else. And
that was very unusual in those days.
Yes, it was very unusual. And like you say, I just thought, well, rather than make a fool out of yourself, you know, it's time. You got to know when to quit, too.
Okay.
I think the best timing on a man retiring was Joe DiMaggio.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Joe started lacking. And surprisingly, how great you are, people started booing him.
Yeah.
Not in Yankee Stadium. They don't boo you in Yankee Stadium.
Right.
Or at least they didn't in my day.
Right.
But around the league, you know, he started failing a little bit, and people, and I think he used real good judgment.
I think he had that great pride. He didn't want
to. He sure did. Yeah, he always did. He was, well, like you say, there was only one Joe DiMaggio.
And we still remember Willie Mays at the end. It was sort of sad to see him when he finished up with
the
Mets.
You mean hanging on.
Right, yeah.
Well, you see, it is a sad situation. But again, you never know a man's financial things and stuff. So
yeah, there might have been something.
He may have good reasoning for staying. You know, if you got to eat, you got to eat.
Right. Would you care to tell us what you've been doing since you quit playing?
Well,
I mean, immediately after you?
I've been very, very fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
I went with Eaton Corporation, which is an international company, and did very, very well, exceptionally well,
mm-hmm.
way better than I did in baseball.
What kind of work did you do with that?
Well, I worked in a division of Eaton that made all the golf grips.
Okay.
In fact, they still make all the golf pride.
Mm-hmm.
The golf course. And at that time that I went with them, the Lumen Bat came in the picture years ago, and they wanted to make a bat grip for the Lumen Bat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was involved in. So 14 main grips. Well, good company. I worked real well, and I was paid very well. And also I had a farm. Nothing like land.
Okay.
The land is... Well, right at the moment, I put a subdivision in, and, well, I'm not going to reveal that part. But
right,
it's,
certainly.
You know, it went, well, I just say, land went from $25 an acre to $50,000 an acre.
That's great.
So I've been a very fortunate young man.
Just for the record, would you care to tell us what your final major league salary was?
No, $40,000.
Okay.
No, I don't hide that.
Right, okay.
That was my tops, but $40,000 back in those days bought a lot.
Right. One final question. If you were able to do it all over again, would there be anything that you would do differently?
Anything I'd do different?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do anything different because I maintain one attitude in anything I do in life. If I ain't going to do it, right, I ain't going to do it. My old man taught me that. You don't do nothing, you do it right. I played ball to the best that this body would let me. I was not a great ball player. A lot of things I could not do, but every time I went in the clubhouse, I just said to myself, well, that's the best I could do that day. I wouldn't change anything. I'd like to go back and play. Everybody would. Okay, right. Hey, there's no better life.
Right.
To any young man in this country, if you can play professional sports, not just baseball,
right.
You play it.
Right.
There's no finer life. There's no, I mean, it's just wonderful. How lucky can we be in this country? And it's the only country in the world.
Yeah.
Only country in the world. This is something that's forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
We should get up every morning and dance up and down that we're in America.
Great. Well, I know you really had a good career, and once again, I really want to thank you for giving us the time.
I'm happy to do so.
I hope you have a great time at the Heroes of Baseball game.
You better believe I will.
Great. Thanks again.
Thank you.